Hello, and once again, I'd like to welcome you to another installment of verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Of course, this ministry is brought to you by The Wash and Word, Hand Car Wash, in Churchill. You can find us on Highway 11W there in the Powell Shopping Center. And then, as you probably know, we exist to bring forth the Word of God. And we do that several different ways. You can go to our website and download and listen to all of our archive messages by going to washandword.com and clicking on the media tab. Don't forget that you can hear these messages weekly on WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. And then, of course, we play them on a loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so that you can come into this parking lot. And we have a small FM transmitter that broadcasts these just in the vicinity area of the Wash and Word. You don't have to... We don't have to be open. You don't have to be getting your car washed. All you have to do is come into the parking lot. And this is why we are here. We want God's Word to be available in its entirety, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so anytime you want to hear from God, just come on into the parking lot near the Wash and Word, whether you're over by the library or the medical center or Pals or, you know, anywhere in this area, you can pick these up. Finally, would like to invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and that's when I am preaching my verse-by-verse sermons. All right, we're going to get back into the Word of God. We are in the book of 1 John, and we just began the fourth chapter in the close of our last study. We read verses 1 through 6, and what we're going to do now is spend a message or two kind of talking about what we read. I'm not going to reread the verses because we'll kind of hit on them as we go, but... Again, if you missed the last message, go to washandword.com and you can hear it there. If you are sitting in our waiting room, just sit tight and these messages will continue to play over and over on a loop. So getting back to verses 1 through 6, John is kind of shifting gears here, and he's now beginning to talk more about false spirits, and more importantly, how to discern them, how to recognize whether or not what you're listening to is truth or false. And over the course of the last 40 or 50 years, the evangelical church nationwide, you know, I'm talking about all the denominations, everyone that calls themselves a church that follows after Christ, we don't find a whole lot of false doctrine or false teachings. Sure, occasionally a pastor might get a scripture wrong or approach it from an angle that may not be what it was intended to be written for. We're all subject to making those types of mistakes. As long as we stay biblically minded, though, we stick to the Word. We're going to be transformed. God's Word in the way it was intended to be. So we don't have a false doctrine problem in the church, per se. Now, of course, we have a false doctrine problem in the world. There are many false religions that claim to be speaking truth. And, we have many out there that think that they're following after the Lord wholeheartedly and in truth, yet they're going to be deceived, or rather they're deceiving themselves, because the Lord will say to them, "Away from me, I never knew you." Now I can go ahead and list a bunch of different religions and different types of cults, so that's not really what's important. I'm going to put that in a whole separate category. You know, the cultish, anti-Christian faith believing religions. But let's focus more on the church itself. Because even though John is warning us of false spirits and the spirit of the Antichrist that is in the world, anyone who's walked with Jesus for any length of time is generally acute to what is falsehood and what is truth. That is, we could recognize it. And the enemy has caught on to the fact that we've caught on to him. And so instead of direct falsehood, the enemy has changed his strategy over the course of the last 30, 40, 50 years. And rather than try to come at and against the church with false doctrine, he has rather infiltrated the church and has created compromise and a thinning of the Word of God. So rather than false truth or false doctrine, we are now getting presented with half-truth and light doctrine. And he has discovered somewhere along the way that this is more detrimental to the strength of the body of Christ than coming directly at us with both barrels blasting with lies and falsehood. And this is what we have seen over the course of the last few decades. The church has fallen into a compromise mode, and as a result, we are now a very powerless body of believers. Now, I'm not saying that about every church. I'm not saying that about every pastor and every congregation. Obviously, even the motivations for doing this are in the right place, but the results and the consequences of thinning out God's word, of short-circuiting the congregation by limiting what you preach on Sunday mornings, is beginning to take its toll on the body itself. It's just like eating improperly. You know, you can have fast food once in a while. You can have a few years of not eating right. But if you continue to eat improperly, eventually your body is going to catch up to you with you. And eventually you're going to become a very unhealthy, sick, and or overweight type of person who might even be suffering from illnesses that could bring on death. And it's the same way with the Bible. If we don't continue to preach the fullness of God's word, we're going to systematically, slowly but surely, weaken our bodies. And the body of Christ is weak today. And if you don't believe that, you are looking through the wrong colored lenses. And you have what I call ostrich system syndrome. We cannot bury our heads in the sand any longer and think that the church is okay. We are not okay. The general landscape of the evangelical church in America today is on a slippery slope and has lost its power. And we need to get it back. And the only way we're going to get it back is by getting back to the whole counsel of God's word. And this is why we teach verse by verse. All right, I'm almost 8 minutes into this teaching, and I haven't even gotten into anything that we are going to talk about. So please pardon the tangent. Occasionally, this is my passion. This is what God has called me to do. And occasionally I get off base, but let's get back into verses 1-6. There is an English word out there that has come to be known as a Christian word in many ways. And that word is discernment. When we hear the word discernment, we often think of it in a Christian tone or environment. And rightfully so, because there is a spiritual gift of discernment. But we have now entered into John's teaching on discernment. And more specifically, the gift of discernment, or the fruit of discernment, and the benefit of having that ability to discern what it is we're listening to. What's more is that there is no other reliable source that we can gain discernment from other than the Spirit of God Himself. Now, the word discernment means the act or process of exhibiting keen insight and good judgment. And so, like I said, the word discernment may automatically conjure up ideas and thoughts of the Christian world, but having discernment in the world is just having keen insight and good judgment. So even non-Christians and non-spiritual things require a gifting of discernment in order to understand what it is you're listening to or looking at or trying to figure out. And so even though this word is widely used in the areas of Christian life, we must remember that word is going to help us. That gift of discernment is going to help us in every aspect, whether it's something of God or it's not. So the question might be, well, why is the gift of discernment so important amongst the body of Christ? Well, because confirmation often lies in the wake of discernment. Confirmation often lies in the wake of discernment. There are a lot of things we are looking for God to answer. We're looking for ways that He's directing our paths and our lives. And we're praying about certain things and we're not sure if we should move forward. And a lot of us are looking for confirmation. And many times the confirmation is there and all we have to do is discern it. And so that's just kind of another way of saying that the answer to the test, so to speak, lies in writing down the right answers. Now, that's not a profound statement. If you write down the right answers, you are writing down the answer to the test or the question. So to identify that which you may or may not feel is God leading you towards something, then we must have confirmation of that thing. So if you're moving in a direction, if you're praying about a thing, in order for us to identify whether or not that's God leading us, we need or often seek out some form of confirmation. Lord, is this you? Is this really what you want me to do? Is that really your voice speaking to me? And we've all been in that situation where we're inquiring of God, and then we'll read something in His Word, or even while we're praying, we'll hear something on the radio, and you know, there's like this immediate answer or confirmation, and that's great when that happens. But short of being hit over the head with a spiritual 2x4, which, by the way, some of us need sometimes, God often confirms His plan and His will subtly. And sometimes it's hard to discern what that will or that plan is. And I am convinced that so many times in my life, when God has confirmed something that I have been praying about, and then I say something like, wow, God, thank you. You really could not have made that more clear to me. Thank you for showing me that. I could almost hear God replying, yeah, sure, whatever, son. Never mind the 16 other times I tried to confirm it to you, but you were just too busy, too distracted, or just didn't stay long enough in prayer with me when I was about to give you the answer. Have you ever been there? You know, oftentimes we see this non-subtle answer to our prayers or that which we're praying for, you know, or guidance and looking for confirmation, and we think, oh, there it is, plain as day, and we thank God for showing us, and all the while God is like, if you only knew how many times I've showed you the road already, and I showed you the path already, but you were just too distracted, you were too busy looking at your phone, you were too busy working, or too busy doing this, and you missed it, and because I love you so much, because I have so much patience for you, my child, I have decided to give you the answer that you're looking for with a spiritual 2x4 upside the head. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that the time that we spend between praying for God's will and knowing God's will can be greatly decreased with a little use of practical discernment. And this is where we begin in verses 1 through 6, is spiritual discernment. There's so much benefit to just taking the time to seek the Lord in earnestness and in humility. Because when we discern the path and the will of God, we can save ourselves so much time and possibly a lot of grief and frustration. And friends, can I just say one more thing? And we're just about out of time. God is not playing hide and seek with His will for your life. He longs to present to you what He has for you. He desires to give you things and set you on the course that He has laid out in advance for you to do. So let's start using that spiritual discernment. Well, join me again tomorrow at this radio station. If you're in the waiting room, just sit tight. The next message will start in just a moment. Remember, come by 24 hours, 7 days a week to the Washington Word parking lot and tune to 107.1 FM for a message from God any day of the week. Have a blessed day.